morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And we're welcoming back Oscar Mestiz, Regional Urban Forester with the Texas A&M Forest Service. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And I think we're just going to make you a permanent co-host now.
I was going to say.
Keep coming back. You're here all the time.
I'm enjoying it.
Well, Oscar, the last time we had you on, we were talking a lot about, of course, trees. You're our tree guy here. But we're also thinking about water restrictions. There haven't been any formal restrictions placed on us as a result of this drought yet, but we're being strongly encouraged to preserve our water. But a lot of us have these big, beautiful trees in our yards that may require us to give them that little extra irrigation, especially if we want to keep them healthy, because the healthier trees that we have, as we've been mentioning on past shows, it's the best way for them to prevent them from getting infested by any pests or to suffer any future freeze damage in case we ever get a hard freeze in town. The healthier the tree, the better off it's going to be in the long run. So what tips do you have for people to irrigate their trees wisely? Of course, every tree has different needs, but what's a good general plan that you can maybe offer some of us?
Well, good questions, because I'm right now I've been watering my trees more with my well than I ever have, because I need to keep them alive. So I guess the first thing is, hopefully you've made the right selection and purchased and planted a drought tolerant or desert adapted tree versus one of the higher water use trees, such as the ones that grow near rivers like pecans, ashes, willows, and cottonwoods. Hopefully, if you have one of those, you have plenty of water for those, because they're going to be the ones first to show signs of stress. So proper species and proper planting, and knowing your soils, because El Paso has a diversity of soils, whether it's clay, which holds water a lot longer. It's harder to wet, but holds water longer, versus sand, which drains very fast. And maybe you have maybe a sandy loam or a mix, but know your soil. Know how much water your soil holds. There's a video, and it should still be up on our Texas A&M Forest Service website, and I think it's a YouTube video on how to water your trees. And it's real simple, and it talks about putting down at least you want to get down at least an inch of water. So 1 to 3 inches of water can push that water down into the soil profile where the root systems will take advantage of it. So we want infrequent, deep irrigations. So don't go out there and water your tree for 5 minutes every day. That's not really helping. We need to push that water down 12 to 18 inches deep into the soil profile. In order to do that, you've got to put the water on top and let it soak down. What I do, and what I've started doing, is I use a sprinkler. I have a sprinkler set up that I can move around, and I place the sprinkler right underneath the canopy, the drip line of my canopy of my mature trees, so that when the sprinkler waters, it waters in toward the trunk and out away from the canopy. So I cover a large area of my root zone, because your root zone can reach out 3 to 5 times the height of your tree. So I'll put that right underneath the drip line. The drip line is where, if it were to naturally rain, where the water would drip off the canopy onto the ground. So right underneath the edge there, so it waters in and out. The water that gets underneath your canopy is going to stay longer because it's shaded by the canopy of the tree. The water that's outside is going to evaporate faster. So what can you do to slow that down? Mulch. If you can put down a 3 or 4 inch layer of mulch, that would help conserve the moisture. So here again, I look at my trees as the larger investment in my yard versus my grass or smaller shrubs. I can replace those a lot cheaper than I can that tree that I've invested years into. You know, I'm going to have 15, 20, 30 years on that tree, and a large tree to remove after it dies costs a lot of money. I would rather spend a little extra on the water and keep it alive. But watering wisely, watering smart. So you move that sprinkler around the tree and try to wet the root zone as best as you can. And the way to test is just take simple, find a long-handled screwdriver. You go buy a soil probe. There are many things that you can do that you can stick into the ground, and you want it to sink in about 12 to 18 inches. And that, because as soon as it hits dry ground, it's going to stop, or a rock here in El Paso. But you can poke around until, and that's how I test it. So many times I'll go to a site and I'll take my soil probe and I'll stick it into the ground, and people say, I've been watering a lot, and I maybe get it in 2 to 3 inches, maybe 4 inches. And I go, you need to water more, longer period of time to soak it in. And you'd be surprised how much your trees will respond to that. So you don't have to water 5 minutes every day. You can get away probably every 2 to 3 weeks, maybe in a month at a time if you do it that way. That's what I do. I have my indicator trees. I have two trees in my yard, a green ash and a Montezuma cypress that are my highest water use trees. And when those start showing stress, then I know I need to put water down. You know, so you don't want to get to that point of wilting. But
I think those are really great points and really great tips for any homeowner to be able to utilize that. I think most of us think that we're going to turn on our sprinkler system. That's going to be enough to water our trees. And that's one of the biggest misconceptions that are out there. I like the process of the soak and cycle. Give your trees enough water for that soil to that water to infiltrate down to that soil profile, and then hit it again. Trees do not have a calendar, and they don't know that this is my third day to water. This is my second day to water. You know, they need to be able to respond to that soil moisture. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest homeowner complaint is I water my 3 days that I'm allowed to, but we need to quantify that, and we quantify that by the volume of water and actually the inches of water applied to that. So.
Right. And you have to also look at the climate. Is it a cool, moist time of the year? You can water less. If it's hot and windy, you need to water more. And remember, as those trees grow, the larger the tree gets, the more water it needs. You know, you've been watering the tree the same way for the last 10 years, you know, and you wonder why it's small.
Right.
It's not growing well. And that's just a fact of nature. You know, a small seedling, there's a rule of thumb out there. 10 gallons per caliper inch of tree per watering. And that's a lot of water if you start adding up with a large tree. You know, a 1-inch tree, that's 10 gallons. That's no big deal. But if you have a 30-inch tree, you know, you're looking at 300 gallons.
What about if you have a sort of a taller, narrower tree, that one that doesn't so much have a canopy? Those roots are going to be spreading out a little bit further. So what good ideas do you have for people who may have sort of a slimmer type of maybe an evergreen?
Well, here again, the roots will extend usually anywhere from 2 to 5 times the height of the tree. So you can use that as a rule. Mm-hmm. So if your tree is 30 foot tall, you can guess those roots are going 60 to 90 feet away. And so, and roots are opportunistic. They grow where conditions are best. They need open ground, they need oxygen, and they need loose soil to push through. So, you know, if you have concrete driveway, you're probably going to have fewer roots on that side versus if you have an open lawn area or a flower bed or any open area where water can penetrate and infiltrate into the soil, as Denise was saying. That's where the roots, more majority of the roots, are going to be. So if you have a big parking lot, you might have a few roots over there, but that ground's compacted underneath that concrete. And you'll know if it's got away because you'll have a buckled sidewalk or buckled conk, you know, where that root did make it into that little crack and grew and expanded. And sometimes that'll happen. It'll go underneath your driveway and into your yard, you know, yay. So, you know, the tree doesn't need to be watered at the trunk. It needs to be watered out there at the yard where the root has grown into that open area.
You know, it's funny you're mentioning the buckling sidewalks. There is somebody in my neighborhood who has planted cottonwoods in his parkway.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, those sidewalks are buckling. Obviously, there's – I don't know how he can water those trees and how long they're going to last. But it's not a very wide strip of
right.
land that he's got that parked in.
Yeah, I know. And that goes back to the planning of, mm-hmm. you know, how wide is my parkway? Because
mm-hmm.
root volume really determines how healthy that tree is going to be. Rooting – that's a whole other topic on rooting
right.
volume. But there's a lot of other things coming up here in Texas. Like, I don't know about
Arbor Day.
Yes. We normally celebrate – Texas Arbor Day used to be in February, and then it was changed to the last Friday in April to match National Arbor Day, which is the last Friday in April. And this year we had it in Bastrop, Texas for 2013. And this year also, a bill was introduced to change Texas Arbor Day to the first Friday in November.
Which would be the most appropriate time. Right?
Which is a good time to plant trees. Some people, you know, not everybody's for it. But fall, we've always kind of pushed this. Fall is for planting. And one of the reasons we like fall is because if you plant your tree in the fall, it's a cooler time of the year. And for most Texas, it's still warm enough that our soils are warm that you can plant the tree and the root systems are going to continue to grow throughout the fall, winter. And so you have a more established root system come, well, here in El Paso, February, when the winds start to kick in. Mm-hmm. So you have a more established tree, so it's less likely to blow over in the wind in this, that you might plant a tree in the spring. So it'd be well anchored. It'll have a better root system. And you use less water because it's cooler time of the year. So you use less water to establish your tree. So fall has always been a good time for planting for me. So we get to celebrate Arbor Day two times this year.
So hopefully, you know, when the first week of November is coming up upon us, we'll have you back to tell us a little bit more about
what
kind of activities may be happening here.
I hope we have some.
Well, speaking of other tree activities, you were telling us, Oscar, before the show, I mean, a lot of people have memories of climbing trees in their yards when they were little. There was a small little tree I used to climb all the time. But there are people who've sort of made, I don't know, a living out of it, but they've turned it into a big part of their lives.
Absolutely. And those are the arborists, the arborists of Texas, the arborists and the actual tree workers, the guys that climb the trees on it. You know, we don't do that so much here in El Paso, but in other parts of Texas, it's a big part of the industry. And I just returned from Plano, Texas, where we had the Texas Tree Climbing Championships. And Miguel Bastenes, who works for Arborological Services, he's one of their best climbers. He's the best climber in Texas. He's the six-time Texas champion. And he recently returned from the national championships that were, I believe, in Rhode Island this year. And he took second place nationally. So he took first place in Texas for the sixth time. And now he gets to go to international competition, which this year is going to be in Canada. So he gets to compete against the world now. So he has a good chance to win.
There's a lot of trees in Canada.
There are a lot of trees all around the world, and they need to be taken care of. But these guys are the guys that are in the trees every day, climbing, doing pruning and removals or injecting or cabling and bracing. If you have a large tree, these are the guys that you want up in the tree. And so, you know, years ago, they said, hey, I can climb faster and better than you can. So we have these competitions to see who's the – and safety is number one. They're always tied into the tree. But if you want to visit the ISAT, that stands for International Society of Arboriculture, T for Texas chapter. If you go to their Facebook page, there's a short video showing Miguel doing the work climb. And so you click on the video, put it to full screen because you're looking up into the canopy of a tree and you see this little shadow up there and you don't know what it is, but all of a sudden you see it moving around and watch how he just moves so effortlessly through that tree. He has to climb out on these limbs and ring a cowbell that says, I made it to that point to where I, you know, if I were working in this tree, I'd cut off that branch at the very tip. Me, when I was climbing, I didn't walk out on the limbs like he did. I did, but not as fast as he did. And sometimes I was crawling out on the limbs. But he just walks out there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you've done any of that.
Oh, yeah. I used to do it in my younger years. But just to see the equipment they carry and the advances and techniques they have, it's amazing to watch these guys working in those trees.
I'm going to put up a link to that on our website.
It's a really cool video.
Check out that video. Well, we're out of time, Oscar, but maybe some of our listeners have maybe more tree questions. Where can they reach you?
They can always call my office. My phone number is 915-834-5610 and leave a message. Maybe they can try my email. Go to the Texas A&M Forest Service webpage. Go to contact us. Look at El Paso office and my information is there.
And that's Mest is spelled M-E-S-T-A-S.
Correct.
All right, Oscar, you're the Regional Urban Forester of Texas A&M Forest Service. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.